You're listening to The Laughter Life.
Laughter Life.
Laughter Life.
The Laughter Life.
The Laughter Life.
Laughter Life with Adam McKay. Available now on all major podcast networks. Ow!
Welcome to The Laughter Life, ladies and gentlemen, and for those of you unsure. Well, I guess you could be sure. You're sure you're neither of those things. And that's okay. That's okay. Don't even care. Welcome to The Laughter Life. I'm your host, Adam. And, just waiting to hear back from Ocean Entertainment in regards to my pilot script, TV pilot and series I co-created with Mr. Greg. And we're just waiting to hear back from Ocean Entertainment, who we've been in discussions with about them coming in with us as partners to get this thing made. And one thing I've learned throughout this whole process is the number one thing in this industry, and especially for newbies like me, is to be very cordial and polite. And, you know, you don't want to burn any bridges no matter what. You never know who now is a busboy, might be an executive producer for some company later down the line. So, and that goes for, you know, that goes without saying in all aspects of life, is to just always be cordial and polite and professional. Now, what's this? I got an email here from Ocean. Let me just read it up here. You fucking So that's going to be a pass from Ocean. And, you know, as I was saying earlier, professionalism is key. And I'd just like to thank them for the discourse that we had to have. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll be able to do some business with them. And this is just when one door closes, another one opens. So that's where we are with that. One great thing that this this experience has brought me and my, you know, the co-creator Greg is just tightening everything up. You know, as potential deals are looming on the horizon, or at least potential pitches and new opportunities, it's I think it's a good opportunity for yourself to look at your material and really try to tighten it up. And, you know, this stuff should be as tight as a drum anyway, but it's one of those beautiful things that nothing's really ever finished until it's, you know, it's on the screen. So, or if you're listening and you're a novelist, if it's on page or whatever the case it is in your creative endeavor, it's never really finished until it's somebody else bought it, basically. So the beauty of it is it's never really, there's always room for improvement. And that's one thing I've learned throughout this process is, and you'll hear it in the industry from people, is, you know, don't die for your words. And I don't know, that really stuck with me, and I get it. I feel like, you know, at least personally, in my little writing journey, I really do feel like I'm just there to serve the story, and whatever will make the story better, whatever it'll make it stronger, more funny, more relatable, just more resonant with audiences, I'm willing to do that. Like, just because I've came up with something initially, I'm not going to go to war for that thing. I don't give a shit. If someone thinks there's some way to make it better, I'll listen. And if I think they're right, then I'll change it. So I don't really have anything else planned. I was going to talk a little bit about, there's a bunch of bullshit going on in my town about cyclists. They want to spend $25 million to improve some of the roadways to, I guess they're adding a cycling lane. I don't know what the hell that would entail. I guess a line, they're going to paint a new line on the road, whatever. And one of the city councilors suggested that, like people that are on the roads with automobiles, which is probably, you know, 90% of everyone on the road is in a car or a truck or whatever, a lot of the money that we pay through, I don't know if it's insurance necessarily, but like registration of your vehicle, so that money comes, I believe, it goes back into the municipality and the province, and some of that money is used to make those roads safer and better because we're the ones using it and beating them up. So yeah, we're going to pay a small portion of whatever that costs to keep the infrastructure in place. So they proposed today, or someone did, one of the counselors, that the cyclists, since we're doing all these things for them, that maybe we levy some sort of a system, a licensing system or a registration system, where that they have to pay a little bit of money in order to have a license to use their pedal bikes on the roads. And some of that money can be used to protect them and to make their travel safer. And of course, they're all in a fucking outrage because they want everything for nothing. And they think they own the road. And they want the government to do everything for them to make whatever it is better. I don't get this attitude with people. And I know I put out a tweet about what you people wanted to hear. Let's see. Let's bring it up right here. We'll be recording episode 26 soon. What do you want me to talk about? And then one guy said, how about doing good for people like a lot of people are doing instead of politics and what's wrong that are going on in he country? That's what Unwanted said. There's no periods. There's no capitalization. It's very difficult to read and understand the gibberish. So then, of course, I tweeted, engagement fail. I blame myself. And I do. So, and lots of people liked it, but nobody had anything to say. So I guess my default when it comes to rambling on about nonsense is things that annoy me, because it's all I really know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. That annoys me when I'm driving home from work and I'm thinking about, thinking about what I'm going to do in the podcast, I just turn the radio on and I hear these news stories. So I guess I'm going to apologize that it's somewhat annoying, probably annoying you that everything I have to talk about is ragey. But I guess the material I have to withdraw some sort of entertainment from, it's usually the news on the way home. And unless I'm preparing jokes and little segments, which I haven't been doing the last dozen or so episodes, I'm not going to have a whole lot on tap for you, and I'm sorry. What I really hope to do is to get some people engaging through Twitter, because I really like that. I like getting some feedback, and I don't have a co-host. A co-host would be ideal, but I guess what I'm trying to say is all of you listeners and all you Twitter followers out there, I want you to be my co-host, and I want to make these episodes with you live. And I want to respond to what you have to say. I want to hear what you have to say. And I think that's the direction I'd like to take this thing. Because with this other TV show, we're trying to get off the ground. I'm just my time is so limited for what I can focus my creative endeavors into that I don't know if I have time with coming up with the normal nonsense you've grown accustomed to here in the Laughter Life with Adam McKay. Okay, you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Laugh Life Adam. And we do have a Patreon page, and I forget what the backslash or hashtag thing is. I don't know. Just Google Patreon and the Laughter Life, and something good will come up. Or just shoot us a message on Twitter, and I'll tell you. I'll tell you exactly what it is. No, you know what? I'll bring it up myself. It's patreon.com/thelaughterlife. Fuck, that was a long fucking piece of bullshit there, and I apologize. I feel like I lost complete track of what in the hell we were talking about. Okay, so the cyclists. Yes. I just don't like how people expect things for nothing. I don't like that. I don't like it. I know some people, they grow so accustomed to it and they develop this expectation. Now they're expecting things for free. Now they're expecting handouts. They're expecting help. I think it's lofty expectations are a big factor and a decline of your mental health and decline of your happiness. And I tell this to a lot of my friends who look at me, and I'm pretty chill. I'm a pretty chill guy. You know, I can go off my little tangents, but they're just, I almost do them to entertain myself. I don't actually care about whatever it is I'm talking about. But I do, I guess I take notice of things. And if I feel like there's something wrong about it, I feel inclined to say something about it. And that's really all it is. But at the end of the day, rewinding, I don't actually give a shit. But so most of my friends look at me and, you know, I've had many different careers. I've been in many stressful situations that should cause a lot of stress to people. And no, I'm not a sociopath or a psychopath, but I'm just able to shield myself from that stress. You know, I don't have PTSD. I don't have any of these debilitating mental issues, at least that I know of or I'm aware of. After having been involved with, you know, so many real world things and, you know, seeing what I've seen and done what I've done. And I just, I feel like I have a great philosophy or a, is it dogma? No, I don't think it's dogma. It's just like this, I don't know. I feel like I've bulletproofed my brain and my soul from mental harm. And a big part of that is, just remove expectations. Just remove your expectations. Why would you expect anything? I mean, I understand that intelligence is sort of like being able to predict a very small future. You know that if you don't hit the brakes and it looks like you're about to run into something, you're probably going to hit it and it's going to cause some damage and some grief and possibly harm or death. So you hit the brakes. Like that's expectation that is acceptable. I'm talking about if you expect a date to go a certain way, or you're expecting the weather to be a certain way, or you're expecting your work to go a certain way. You have to just lower your expectations in terms of your day-to-day life. And I think you'll find if you continue to work as hard as you need to do whatever it is you want to do, and lower your expectations at the same time, that like even the smallest amount of success to you will feel monumentous. Is that a fucking word? Monumentous? Monumental? Fuck. It'll feel big, okay? It'll feel big. And that's what I've done. You know, I kind of remove expectations. I still have goals for myself. I still have I still know what I want, and I work hard. And, you know, I haven't sold anything yet, but I'm going in the right direction. Everything's trending in the right direction. This is a real long rant, and I'm sorry. I do have some mailbag. We're going to get to some, I got quite a few mailbags, I think, actually. I keep saying mailbags, like there's several bags. It's really only emails, but I like the visual of a bag, you know. Not a garbage bag, not a dirty old Sobeys bag that someone snapped one off in, but, you know, like one of those canvas sacks that's got money sign on it, you know, filled with mail. Okay, I got a newspaper here. I actually got a newspaper, and this is from, I live in a small community within a large community sort of thing. You know, I live in a municipality. Not quite in the city of Halifax, but I live a little outside. And I got the old masthead newspaper. It comes to me once a month or whatever, once a week, I don't know. So I'm just going to read a quick little blurb here. And you'll get a sense of the sort of news story that we get where I come from here. Okay? And I might even put a little accent on it so you get a nice, sounds like you're right here next to me listening to some old salty bastard tell you a story with a fire about going. I do get some candles lit. I do. I like, whenever I'm working on the podcast or writing jokes or writing a script or doing any sort of creative thing, I like to have some candles lit. My girlfriend thinks I'm overflowing with salmon thighs, but, I just like it, okay? I like it. Last night I had some glasses of wine. It's nice. I like that, okay? But anyway, so put up your feet here. We got a news story. Let me see who wrote this. Ooh, it's an op-ed from MLA, Ian Rankin. What's an op-ed? Opinion?
editorial, maybe. Okay. Connecting communities from one corner to the other to another. It is with great pride as MLA for Timberley Prospect to see a provincial project underway that will significantly better our community. Our government has been able to make key investments in our province that will reshape Nova Scotia for decades to come. A large part of this investment is roads, the lifeblood of our economy. Upgrades are always taking place, and one of those major investments that you've probably seen this summer is the work being done on the Highway 102-103 interchange. This junction near the Bears Lake Business Park is a commuter hub with about 30,000 vehicles a day on Highway 103 and a 50,000 on Highway 102. But at nearly 60 years old, the interchange is antiquated, and our government recognized it was time for a much-needed revamp to ensure more efficient traffic flow through our communities. Upgrades will include total replacement of the interchange and realignment of ramps so vehicles can merge onto the highway at quicker, more appropriate speeds, reducing traffic congestion. The new interchange is being constructed adjacent to the Oh my fuck, this is boring. This guy, you a writer, you ain't. My God. Who wants to hear this shit? What a waste. All this is saying, I'll sum this up in a couple sentences. You people can suck my dick, and I mean that in a good way, because I'm your MLA, and look what I did with my money. Which is your money. Yeah. Okay, let me try to skim through this shit. That was so fucking boring. I think my nose is bleeding. Thanks, Ian McCaskill. Is that your name? Thanks, Ian Rankin. You gave me a fucking aneurysm with your boring article. Okay, let's get up some... all right, we're 16 minutes in. Oh, what's this? What's this? What's this? I'm just getting a little message from Bill and Frankie Pop Culture here. We are recording. We aren't recording until tomorrow, so it won't come out until Thursday. Is yours out tonight? Recording it as we speak. He's going to like that. He's going to like that. You can listen to Bill and Frankie Pop Culture wherever you find your podcasts. And you can also follow them on Twitter. They're at BFE Pop Culture. BFE Pop Culture. Oh, fuck. What a stupid handle. Anyway, good podcast, good fellas. And they're Bill and Frankie Pop Culture. Okay, let's go. Mailbag. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I can't believe how little engagement I got on Twitter today. I thought it was going to be good. Everyone was so horny to tell me who they thought their favorite fucking TV dad was, and which was Al Bundy by a landslide. Most of you picked Al Bundy. Okay, this one. Okay, here we go. Did I read this already? Oh, no. Okay. Okay, mailbag from Polish Pete. Okay, hello, Adam. I am from Poland, and as you may have guessed from my nickname, I moved here 5 years ago to Canada and live in Amherst, New Brunswick. I started off in grade 7 junior high. What a heaven compared to Poland. You have blue jeans, rock and roll, and even old women who work at Tim Hortons is like Polish model, plus hockey. My question is a hard one. Since I started grade 7 5 years ago, I got into hockey. I love it. I have a problem, though, in that they have banned me from playing. I am now in grade 9, but they say I am too old to play. Too old to play? I am with my peers and feel that since I am in grade 9, I should play with the kids in my grade. The community and school board disagrees and says I should be playing the over 21 league with the local men. I have a feeling, and I hate to say this, but I have a feeling that it's because I am Polish and I am being discriminated against. This makes for sad days, my friend. Can you help my advice? Your fan, Polish Pete. Postscript. I do wish hard that Retard's Family Restaurants opens a location here in New Brunswick, Canada. Tell them we will support Retard's in New Brunswick and Poland. Well, Polish Pete, I really appreciate your letter. And I will pass that along to Ricardo Retard himself. He will just love to hear that he heard from somebody, a fan. Let's go back up. Can you help my advice? Oh, my God. Too old to play? Let me see if I can make sense of this.
This makes for... Can you help my advice? Jesus Christ. I don't know how to make sense of this. My question is a hard one. Okay, but they... Too old to play. The comedians... Okay, I have a feeling... I hate to say this, but I have a feeling that it's because I am Polish. This makes sense. This, okay, well, this is a really difficult... can you help my advice with a question? You, just because you put a question mark at the end of a sentence doesn't mean it's a question. Yeah, you know, it's it still has to make fucking sense. I could say dog kiss asshole question mark, and that's not a question. I just put a question mark at the end of nonsense, and that's kind of what you've done here. And you know what? I don't know that you being stupid has anything to do with you being Polish, but you happen to be Polish, and you happen to be stupid. Those are two facts. And if you're 21 years old or older, you can't play against grade seven people. You just can't. Like, they'd outsmart the shit out of you anyway. They'd be skating circles around you. I just would, oh, man, what's with these people? Do I have no real fans? Polish Pete, I love this message. I love this this letter you sent here, Pete. I think you should drop out of school. I mean, you're wasting your time and, frankly, everyone else around you's time. Drop out of school. Maybe go talk to the dump king. He can give you a job, you know, sorting plastic or something. Probably a bit more of your speed. You might even find an old used hockey net. I was a kid. I had an old used hockey net Dad brought home from the dump. It was great. Worked great, okay? But I can no longer even indulge in this this nonsense. And for those reasons, I'm out. Thank you for the letter. Okay, moving back over here. I got some more mailbag, I think, from... That was a strange letter. But thanks for the letter, Polish Pete. God, you're really getting me in trouble. These different people. Okay, wow, this is pretty big here. Okay, Gooptar, subject, money, baby. Hello, Mr. Adam. Gooptar is finally writing you with some good news. I mentioned in last letter of Gooptar being stranded in Nigeria after being tricked by a man pretending to be lady, and that I had information on secret treasure map. Well, after following many clues and finding many dead bodies, yuck, Gooptar found 12 million monies in buried box on beach. In box was also guns and bones of human. Now, after a few months, Gooptar is living the sweet life, with lots of food and women's and jet skis. My question for Laughter Life, now that I am super rich, what should I do? I am thinking about going back to England and take revenge on giant woman who got Gooptar deported. What would Adam do if he found 12 million monies buried on the beach? Postscript, I have bought a giant inflatable panda, as this was always Gooptar's dream to own. One love. Okay, Gooptar. Let's see, now that I'm super rich, what should I do? Okay, now that you're super rich, where are you? Are you still in Nigeria? Well, step one is get the fuck out of Nigeria. I wouldn't be surprised to hear you're already dead. Because if they find out you've got 12 million monies, they're coming after your head, bud. You need to get the hell out of there. I would move to Gooptar, you're not going to the United States. Forget that. You'd be better off in hell, frankly. I think Gooptar, you know what I think you should go, Gooptar? You'd be nice and safe, and you find a good woman to take care of you. You'll have enough money to last you a little bit. I think you should move to Sweden. I think Gooptar should move his little Gooptar ass to Sweden and just... explore Sweden, and let me know what you think when you get there. What would Adam do if I found $12 million buried on the beach? Holy crap. Well, I would like scout out the area first. I would pretend I don't even notice it first. And I'd do maybe like 500 square meters. I'd be looking around, checking if there wasn't, is this a scam? Is somebody watching the money? Is there cameras there? Is it booby-trapped? I would, you know, do some sincere, like, Alex Jones weird conspiracy shit first. Then when I was satisfied that it is indeed abandoned, I would take it, obviously. I would take it to the most secure location I could think of, that, and I would ensure that nobody followed me. I would count the money. I would look it all over very carefully. I'd inspect the bag, make sure there's no, you know, GPS tracking devices or any ink devices that would explode. That's what I would do with the money. Once I was satisfied, then I get. And where am I? Am I in Canada when I'm finding it? Am I finding it in Nigeria? Because yeah, it'd be almost impossible to take it out of a country that you're not in. But if you found it in the country you want to spend it on, it'd be easy. Anyway, well, I'll just pretend that it's here. So I'm here with it. I would take it to my home. I would lock it in a secure location in my home. And I think over the course of $12 million, maybe the course of 5 years, I would slowly take maybe, I don't know what the rules are at the casinos, but I'd have to do some research, figure out what's a good amount to take to the casino without alerting anybody. And then I'd maybe take like $7,500 to $9,000, I'm guessing, maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks to a casino in town. And, you know, buy the $7,500 in chips or whatever, go play for an hour or two and then, you know, cash them out. That way you're cleaning your money and you're hopefully kind of hiding your tracks of where you got the money, whatever, blah, 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 blah. I guess second of all, you can't really deposit that much money in the bank, so you'd have to keep it cash. You might be able to invest a little bit here, a little bit there. You could hide it. Maybe you could buy some assets with cash for a time and then sell it later down the road. You know, typical money laundering stuff. Even though you didn't necessarily find the money or make the money illegally, I'd still be very careful with it. And I would want to clean it anyway. And that's what I would do. And that's as legitimate as what I would do as there is. And I'm probably missing a few steps. But let me tell you, I would be very, very careful about how I dealt with that scenario. But that's a cool question. And thanks for that, Gupter. So enjoy Sweden, bud, and I wish you all the best. Okay, Big Pete. Subject, can't find no love. Adam, Big Pete here. Need some advice. I've been on the Tinder and the Plenty of Fish, but I am having a horrible time in the dating world. I send out messages all the time, but no responses. In my profile picture, I'm wearing my cleanest sweatpants, my wolf t-shirt, and I'm even hiding my black tooth because some ladies don't like it. What am I doing wrong? Any tips for us single fellas out here? What you're doing wrong, Pete, is your expectations for who you're going to get are way too high. Either you don't understand relationships or anything to do with the social interaction of man and woman in this day and age, or you just don't care. And I feel like if you work on yourself a little bit, just a little bit, it might improve your chances to find a mate. So my tips for you, specifically, Pete, is maybe go for a walk. Just start by going for a walk every night. You know, maybe walk. Get an extra 2,500 steps a day in, whatever that, I don't know what you do now, but it doesn't matter. Just do an extra 2,500 steps a day. Maybe see about getting your teeth whitened. Maybe don't wear a wolf t-shirt and your sweatpants in your photo. Although I do think it's very, there's something admirable about you just bearing your true nature in these photos because there's so much catfishing going on out there. And I also would, I don't know I don't know how high of a standard you have, and I'm not sure who exactly you're trying to target, but, wherever you're aiming, I would just aim a lot lower than that. That's what I would do, Pete, and, try those things out and let me know how that goes for you, bud. Thanks for writing in. Just a reminder to you listeners, you are listening to The Laughter Life. I do apologize. I feel like the last couple episodes have kind of been like, meh, and I apologize. I got nothing, folks. I got nothing. Got a couple more letters here, though. And a reminder, you're listening to The Laughter Life with Adam McKay. Follow us on Twitter at Laugh Life Adam. We're on patreon.com/The Laughter Life. And we got a letter from The Blob. Subject, career change. Adam, I am an indie wrestler on the small circuit going by the name The Blob. I love my work even though it doesn't pay for crap. And I'm at a bit of a crossroads. I have an opportunity to take the Blob over to England to work some shows over there. But I have also been offered a safe job as a fish plant factory worker here at home, taking the guts out of cod on an assembly line. The wrestling opportunity sounds great, but I have to pay for my ticket to England. And I'm also worried about getting hurt and ruining my body with a full career in wrestling. Any advice, brother? Well, the Blob. Oh, man. So you're already an indie wrestler on the small circuit. You go by the name of Blob. It doesn't pay for crap. And you have an opportunity to go to England to wrestle. But you also have an opportunity to work at the fish plant. Here's what I would do to you. And I'm only using my own experience to formulate this opinion on how you should go about this. I would take the job at the fish plant factory. Make some money. Squirrel away a little bit of money. And quietly and in your spare time, what other kind of time you can claw together, I would also be working on your wrestling game. Maybe wrestle a couple times a month or as often as you can while still working. And make, you know, it kind of sucks. Everyone wants to quit everything they're doing and jump right into something that they love doing. But the reality of it is they need to support themselves while they go after their dream. So I would keep a job and do as much wrestling on the side as you can handle. And eventually, perhaps you'll save up enough money that maybe you can take a calculated risk and taking some leave from your job in order to pursue something more full-time in wrestling. And that's what I think you should do. And I really appreciate that letter. That was a nice little letter from the Blob. So thank you, Blob. Okay, this is the last letter, and then we're signing off, folks. We got one here from Dump King Billy. I have a knighthood for you. That is the subject. Adam, as you have proven yourself a loyal subject of mine, Dump Kingdom, I want to hereby knight you and call you Sir Adam of the Dump henceforth. I'm sure you are honored. No thanks is necessary. I will send you a letter with the details of your coronation ceremony. My question this week, in your past, was there anything you or your parents threw away that made you furious or regretful? I'm up to my neck in thrown out comic books and hockey cards down here at Dump Central. I remember my old Meemaw threw away my cape when I was 6. Said it made me look too fancy. Oh, that's cute. That's pretty cute. You know, I can't really think of something that my parents threw away on me. I had kind of the opposite problem. And my dad would bring shit home from the dump for me. And I have a funny story that this has conjured up. My dad brought me home an old shitty hockey net one time from the dump. And it was better than the hockey net I had, which was none, of course. So he brought it home. He put some of the dents out of it. He retied the netting. And it was a nice little hockey net. You know, well, it was a hockey net. And what does a little bastard 10 or 11-year-old kid need? It's just a hockey net. And anyway, I had a friend over. Jesus. And this is, you know, his name was Pete. And we were pretty good buddies. And we hung out a lot. But I only think he ever came to my house once. And we mostly just hung out at school and at sporting events and stuff. But I think he was at my house one time growing up. And, of course, it's the one time that my dad brings his old hockey net home. Because we're playing hockey, and then Pete's like, Jesus Christ, this is my old hockey net. Where did you get it? And I was like, are you sure? I don't think so, man. I was embarrassed as fuck. And he's like, no, that's definitely, you know, if you have a toy and you beat the shit out of it for years, you just kind of know that toy intuitively. And it was his net. His parents had threw it out and brought him a new net. And my fucking dad drug it home for me. And at the time, I was rather embarrassed. But that's the kind of cool shit that my dad did. And you know, I didn't. He always had a really good job. My parents always worked. And we didn't have a ton of money. But we weren't broke or poor by any means. But because of those things that he would do, I would think we were a lot poorer than we were. But I think it was more so that he was just kind of thrifty, and I get it now. Like, I don't have any children of my own, but if I did, I'd want to do things cheap because, you know, how kids, you know, they're so, I don't know what the word is. They're so fickle, you know. You get them one thing now, and then 2 days later, they're not into that thing anymore, and it's a big waste of time. So I got to give kudos to the old man. He's a pretty cool cat, and he's pretty thrifty like that, and God love him. Old Reed. That's a great question. That's a great letter, Dump King. I really appreciate that, and I appreciate you bestowing upon me the knighthood of Sir Adam of the Dump. And that's it, folks. I appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate all the follows, and I apologize for this shitty episode. Perhaps the next one will be much better. But anyway, you're listening to Laugh Life with Adam McKay. I'm your host. You can follow us on Twitter at Laugh Life Adam. You can follow us on Patreon. It's patreon.com/TheLaughterLife. And you all have a very, very good night.